'Tis the season to shine with H&M. Discover the holiday collection and find fashionable pieces for your wardrobe or for under the tree. Get inspired and dazzle with this year's glam. From tuxedo styles, bow detailed pieces, impressive prints, and more. From unforgettable looks to unforgettable gifts. With fashion finds to home decor, find it all at H&M. Treat your loved ones and yourself this season. Shop in-store or at hm.com.
Hey guys, it's a new podcast. Let's run through some dates real quick. Ooh, before I start, go check out my YouTube channel. You can find all my info at burtburtburt.com, and that's where you can find my YouTube page. I post new vlogs bi-weekly, and the video to these podcasts are posted on my YouTube channel. So go check it out. Let's run through some dates real quick. As always, go to Burtcast, get a shirt, get a machine shirt. We got new machine shirts coming out. And a coffee mug, my book, Life of the Party. Edmonton, January 14th through 16th. Melrose Improv on the 22nd. Liberty, Ohio. That's right outside Cincinnati or inside Cincinnati, I think. It's a new club. I'm going to be there the 28th through the 30th of January. Richmond Funny Bone, February 4th through 6th. The Ice House with friends, February 12th. Omaha, 18, 19, 20. The Hard Rock in Sioux City. Is it Sioux City? It's all of our city, but Sue's the one that owns it. I'm going to be there on the 17th of February in Bellevue, Washington, the 25th, 26th, 27th. Guys, I still have tons more dates. Oh, my God. How do I forget? Call In Sick to Work show in Columbus, Ohio on the 17th of March, followed by the Long Road Distillery in Grand Rapids. I think it's Grand Rapids, Michigan. I don't know. Virginia Beach, Des Moines, Calgary. Brea, DC, Helium, Schaumburg, Flappers, Orlando, Columbus again, Albany, Funny Bone, Syracuse. Guys, this is running up until August. I'm not going to tell you more dates than that. Today's podcast. This is a co-share. What is it? A swapcast, Dan Hope calls them. I did this podcast with him. We were supposed to do my podcast, and then he just said, can I put it on my radio show and I'll kind of interview you? And I was like, you know what? I'd make you interview me anyway. He is from the Opie and Anthony show. He has his own show, the Sam Roberts Show, on Sirius XM. He is a friend of mine for a long time. I love this guy. I think he is probably the freshest, brightest, shining light in radio these days that's under 25. Put your hands together. By the way, I can think of one more person that's not going to like that. For Sam Roberts.
This is...
XM, as you're listening at home, and we've moved from where we were to the greatest man cave in all of Los Angeles, California.
It might be the only like put a stamp on it, man cave. Like from the man cave people who make man caves on
right,
TV.
Right.
Oh no, Rain Wilson has a better one than me.
He does.
That's the guy from The Office.
Yes.
Yeah. That guy has a really fucking badass one. I think he dropped like $500,000 in it.
Oh, how much did this one cost?
$180,000.
I still got a lot of money.
Yeah, they gave it to me. I didn't pay for one thing.
So they put 180 into it.
They put 180 into this.
Bert Kreischer is here.
This wood is from a 200-year-old barn in Indiana.
Oh, so it's like
man
stuff.
It's legit.
Right.
Like everyone goes, God, it smells good in here. It's because of this barn.
Yeah.
Just probably dried tobacco or some shit. Listen to racist thoughts a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah, they've been absorbed into all the wood.
Right now, these would, if it could talk, would go, this guy's pretty liberal.
It's just racism getting absorbed in all the pores.
And I have Richard Pryor everywhere. Yeah, this is my man cave.
That's the difference, though. Like, this man cave, like, when I think of man cave, like, when I get a house, I want to get a man cave. But my vision of a man cave is just, like, put the PlayStation, put a big TV, put a whole bunch of wrestling stuff in it. And that's the man cave. Like, you actually have, like, it's lumber and stuff that men
Kegerator.
Do.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Okay, I'm going to walk you through. This is no knock on the thematic vibes of the man cave that you hear. Every man cave has a kegerator. Kegerators are really great on paper.
Okay.
But they're really difficult to maintain.
Well, what's a kegerator?
It's You put a keg inside, and then there's a tap up there, and it keeps the keg cold. You can have an ice cold beer out of the tap whenever you want.
So it's like it's meant so you can permanently have a keg in here.
Permanently,
and you don't have to worry about replacing it every day or whatever.
Well, you do have to worry about replacing it because they go bad.
Oh, so of course.
So you've got to be murdering beers on a daily basis.
Yeah.
To be and I was going through kegs pretty fucking quickly, and so then. And then I went on the road. I was doing Travel Channel. I come back, and they're like, yeah. And I'm like, my beard tastes weird. And the guy, the thing's like, oh, you need to clean your lines. I was like, what? And he's like, very simple. You just got to have them come out and do it. I go, who? And so someone comes out and clean your lines, so I stopped using the kegerator. Now it's just a refrigerator. The best thing is this wine refrigerator over to the side, because we keep that filled with really nice wines.
Well, see, that you can just get bottles of wine and put it in. Well, like, there's no weird upkeep. There's no, like, it's not going to go bad. It's not going to go flat. It's
The problem is, it's not a refrigerator, so my daughter's filled it with Sunkist, and so they're just mediocrely cooled Sunkist.
That's like
Sunkist at like 72 degrees.
Right, because you're not supposed to have ice cold wine.
No, so they get mad because the wine refrigerator doesn't keep the Sunkist cold. The two TVs are the best. Because
There's two TVs.
And that one behind you.
Oh, wow.
And so it opens
up. It's in a picture frame.
It's in a picture frame, and I don't know if it'll happen because the TV's got to be on, but there's a map that comes down.
Map to what?
A map just comes down and just covers it, so it looks
Yeah. So there's like leather bound books, so it's like if you want to be a gentleman, this can be a gentleman's cave as well.
See, but here's the biggest problem with it. I love watching Game of Thrones in here. Because literally, I take the couch, I put it sideways, I look at both TVs, and I just turn the lights off. This is the best room
you get. You put it on both TVs? Uh-huh.
Oh, the both TVs go on the same thing every time. So, here's the craziest part, is getting weird as fuck in this man cave. I get weird as fuck
sometimes.
What do
you mean by getting weird?
Like, come back from Vietnam, you've been on a plane for 33 hours, you land, it's like dinner time, you go out with everyone, have drinks, and have dinner, and then you're on a totally different time zone,
right.
So you fall asleep with everyone, but then you wake up, literally like rice patty crazy, and I come into the man cave, and just... You can get weird as fuck because no one can hear you.
So what do you do?
Oh, just open a bottle of wine. You're in a Speedo. Just listening to old Smith's albums.
By yourself.
Just by yourself. Open it up the backyard, having a cigar with a cup of coffee with a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And just walking around singing and dancing, burning steps.
Right.
Got my Fitbit on.
Just step, 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 step.
Jumping rope.
These all count.
If my daughters woke up and saw me in the middle of the night, they would be like, Mom, Dad, we got to get someone to help Dad.
This is not good.
Yeah, and so that's...
Like, why do you have to do it in a Speedo? Just because you can.
I love Speedos.
You do.
Yeah, I love Speedos.
You just don't like clothes.
I don't like clothes.
Because as I see you, Bert, right now, you have like what I don't want to be. A dashiki from Tanzania.
Yeah.
And some Zubas on.
Yes.
And like you knew I was coming over. It's not like I surprised you.
It's New Year's Day.
Right.
This is a fresh start.
Right.
I slept in my Zubas. I love this dashiki because it's got two pockets. I love like the old man shirts. Like the, do you remember the Vayavedas?
What are those?
They had four pockets.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. They're like safari-ish shirts.
Yeah, like something you see Rich Voss wear.
Right.
I love why I have it. But yeah, the other thing I have, this is a 1,000 cigar humidor in that right there.
Do you smoke cigars that much? Or is it because you have the humidor now, you want a regular? Because that's what it feels like. You could have all these things in here where like the kegerator is going to make you want to drink beer all the time.
Yes.
The wine refrigerator is like, we can have great wine all the time. And then you've got like the 1,000 cigar humidor means you should be smoking cigars all the time. It's stuff you wouldn't do if you didn't have all these like toys.
It's problematic, I would say. Because I like yesterday I woke up, came out, worked out, made some coffee, worked out, had a cigar, watching football.
Right.
And I'm just like, I guess I could start drinking.
Right.
And I there's booze everywhere, so I'm like, oh, you know what, I have a cocktail, maybe I'll take a nap.
Yeah.
And then that turned into an all-night adventure that ended at like right after midnight. George and Leanne went home early, and Isla and I stayed out all night long.
Wow.
And then Isla came home and got in my bed and was like, Mom, get on the couch, I'm sleeping with Dad. It's like, it's 12:30, I'm shaking a little crazy, Dad's been letting me candy all fucking night.
Right.
And so Isla and I slept together and woke up this morning. She's like, I could use a breakfast sandwich. I think you're going to be someone's girlfriend. You're going to be an awesome girlfriend
somebody. So you can get all fucked up with your kids around.
Yeah.
Like, and it's still fun.
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody says. Because that's what it made me think of when you were talking about having the Sunkiss in the wine refrigerator. Is like, that's like the perfect example of you trying to maintain this lifestyle that you enjoy which most people stop when they have kids because, wow, you can't do it anymore.
I thought I was going to stop. I remember being like making a lot of big statements.
You
like,
did.
Oh, big. You'll never see me have a drink in front of my child.
Well, I'm a father now. Yeah. I'm responsible.
I said that out loud.
You did.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, I mean, I guess that'll start when she starts noticing that it's a drink, you know?
Right.
Because right. At 1 month old, she can't tell if it's whiskey or water. Why am I not drinking whiskey? Mm-hmm. So then you're like, all right, I'll wait until she's about one. And then at one, you're like, well, I've been doing it in front of her for a year. I might as well keep doing it.
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't get too fucked up around them. Like, I would never do it by myself. Like, last night, I was pretty in check. I was just drinking wine. And we were playing board games over at our friend's house and waiting for the countdown. But, like, I don't think they've ever seen me, like, drunk. I don't think anyone's ever really seen me drunk.
What? Really?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think I'm one of those guys that's that's a bad example. I'm glad I caught myself on that.
What are you going to say?
I was going to say, like, Rogan's one of those guys where everyone thinks he's, like, the toughest guy in the world. Where Rogan will tell you, I'm not, and I don't want to fight anybody.
Right.
I don't fight. But he is a fucking badass.
Right.
But
if you're the toughest guy in the world and people are going to want to test you and he doesn't need to get tested everywhere.
And he's like, yeah, and if someone charged him, I don't think he'd like pull guard and, you know, get side control. Like he might. He probably would if someone tried to fight him. But he's the guy that like in the Carlos Mencia video, you always thought, you know, like what they're – Carlos is like, he's being a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, why didn't Joe just kill him? Because that's not Joe.
Right.
Joe would never hit somebody.
Right.
But I'm that way with drinking. I think everyone sees me as like the biggest drinker in the world.
Right.
But when I go on stage, I bring one beer and I drink that beer and that's it. And then the next show I do one beer too.
I saw you, though. This was a few years ago, so maybe you've changed.
No. I haven't changed. But if you saw me, then that definitely happened. Which one? What was it?
Well, yeah, because you were doing more than one beer.
What was that?
It was in Nyack. A few years ago.
Yeah.
And you're doing shots with the audience and taking your shirt
off. Okay, that is problematic.
Well, that's the night that you shaved Roland in the dressing room after the show. It wasn't even for the show.
No, that is the problematic thing is that people send shots aggressively to the stage.
I see.
And
you don't want to be the guy who turns down shots because you're Bert. Like, you're everybody's friend.
When I first hung out with David Tell, I wanted to do a shot with him so bad. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to go drinking with him. I wanted to hang out with him. I wanted to have my moment with David Tell so I could tell you that we went out in Coconut Grove and everyone was buying us shots. And it was one of the greatest nights of my life. I had just had Georgia and Attell's just like talking to me honestly. And we had a great night. And I had that because I did shots with him.
Right.
I don't want to deprive anyone that would want that with me. Pleasure.
I got you.
As a fan of comedy, if someone is a fan of comedy and they are a fan of mine and they get it. Now, there are a lot of guys that will say Bert definitely did not do a shot with me. Uh-huh. There's probably equally amount, same amount, say Bert did a shot with me. And that's like shots. I stopped doing shots on stage only because I was doing them and I couldn't say no.
Yeah.
So like people would send them and I'd be like, oh, okay. And then you got 300 people going, do it. And you're like, fuck, I could either just do it and be fine with it or turn it away. I remember I turned it away one time in Omaha.
Uh-huh.
I turned it away and this kid came up to me. And I go, oh, I'm not doing shots. And then they sent it back to the table. And then the kid walks up. He's like, hey, man, I drove from Indiana with my whole family to see you. And I bought you a shot. And I got one for me and my dad. And I haven't seen my dad in 6 months. And this is our night. Will you please do the shot with me? And I'm like, first of all, I was on medication. That's why I wasn't doing a shot.
Right.
Now I'm like, well, fuck it. Fuck my medication. This guy drove all the way.
Because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, even if it means mixing alcohol and medication.
It was by antibiotics. So I was like, well, I guess I'll just keep this cold forever.
Right.
And so I do the shot, and then the kid does the shot, and his body seizes up, and he blacks out there, hits his head on the ground, and they carry him out of the fucking place.
No.
I was like, are you fucking kidding me? There have been many times where I thought, alcohol, you changed on me. You promised me a good time. Look what you've done to these people.
Yeah, there's a dark side to you, alcohol.
Oh, dude, I do the call in sick to work tour. Have you heard about that?
No.
I do a call in sick to work tour where I show up at radio at like 8. You can only do it where radio still exists.
Right.
So like DC, Philly, Tampa, Atlanta. There's only a few places where you can do radio and sell tickets.
Right.
So I do Cowhead show. And this is this example story.
When you said where radio still exists, you mean in the sense that people are actually actively listening, or you mean that there are actually still shows that aren't just like, hey, jukebox, play the song?
Both.
Both.
Where people, well, I mean, because there are people that, there are radio stations where people are doing, you know, whatever good radio is, but then people aren't listening.
Right.
So you do it and you have fun, and then you go to the club and everyone's like, nah, I've never heard of WNWZW.
Yeah.
And so I go into the club, I do radio from 8 to 10, I drink on radio. So we bring booze in.
8 a.m. to 10 a.m.?
8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And then I go right to the club and do a show at 11 a.m. And I tell everyone to call in sick to work. And then everyone shows up to the club at like 9.
Oh, wow.
And starts drinking from 9 to 11 and pre-partying.
So you go on the air. It's 8 a.m. People are getting up. You're like, everybody out there, call in sick.
Call in sick to work.
We're partying.
It's a Friday. It's always a Friday.
Yeah.
So I go, call in sick to work. Call in sick to work right now. Meet me at the club. And I have not sold out a room.
Really?
I've sold out everywhere I've done. Edmonton, DC, Tampa. And you just go in and it's...
And it has to be spur of the moment, though. It's not
no,
like...
No, I call ahead and let people know. Like, you only because I did it one time spur of the moment, and it was great, but it was like... In Edmonton, I did it spur of the moment, and it sold out, but it was sold out like walk-up sold out.
Gotcha. And you like to know...
Well, it's nice to know that there's going to be someone there. Like, I did DC. I called in... To Elliot in the morning, I called in like 2 weeks out and it sold out within 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. So then you go to the club and then you get to the club and that. And now I have been drinking on the radio. Not a ton, but I'm definitely buzzed. But it doesn't matter because these people never fucking know because they are fucking three sheets to the wind. They are the drunkest you've ever seen any human being. And I mean, like, I got to Tampa and I got to the club and the guy behind the bar was like, we're screwed. I go, what? And he goes, we're out of beer.
They drank all the club's beer.
They go to the club. The club turns on the radio. So you're listening to me on radio, and everyone's just sitting in their seats drinking.
Oh, my gosh.
It is fucking chaos. I mean, ambulances had to show up because, like, people were, like...
Really?
It was, yeah. Cowhead was like, this is fucking absolute insanity.
Isn't it amazing? Because that's, like, it's so rare. I mean, you talk about radio. Like, it's so rare to have those moments. Like, in the 80s, that was something that could happen.
I miss that so much. I think that's why I romanticize so much about Ron Bennington's career. Because he witnessed the greatest parts of radio. Like, then, like, the new Wild West days of radio.
Right.
And then, like, satellite radio.
And the end of terrestrial.
And he's,
aside from a handful, like
he
you
had
said.
The moments where it was, like, him on a cigarette boat in, like, a... cut off Hulkamania shirt with a fucking mullet and three topless girls with fluorescent bottoms and big puffed up. I mean, he witnessed it all.
Yeah.
I idolize that guy.
And isn't it amazing that now he's still doing a show that's like just a show about what's going on today? Like, I feel like if I lived that life, I wouldn't be like doing a show about today. I'd be like, do you guys know what I saw?
Yeah, in a weird way, it's almost like he's a time traveler who doesn't talk about it. And you're like, if I was a time traveler, I'd tell fucking everybody.
Yeah.
Guys, I just time traveled. I just think, granted, it was like a week ago, but then I'm... Like, he is so like I always want to hear his stories. Like,
right.
His stories are great. One of my favorite Ron Bennington stories ever is... And I don't... some of my memories are always jaded with whatever I... add to the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this is exactly accurate because I might have punched it up so that I liked it better.
Right. But in your own head.
In my own head.
On one of those late nights where you were in a Speedo counting your steps, you're like, oh, and then this happened.
Well, if you're going to get weird, might as well go full tilt.
I think that's right.
And so, but when he was on Ron and Ron, when he did the biggest show in all of Tampa.
Right.
All of Tampa. And, He was partying too.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't know where I heard him tell this. Sure, I'm just heard it on Ron and Fez. And he's like, oh yeah, I made some bad decisions. One time there was this after hours bar in Tampa, and you had to bring your own booze in, but we didn't have any booze, and all the fucking bars are closed, and all the places you can't get booze anymore. But I know the guy has got booze, and I know that we can buy some, but we don't have any money. What we do have is some firearms, and I know the guy's a fan of firearms. So we're cooked up. And we decide to bring in a few shotguns to this after hours party. Great idea on paper.
Right.
Except when we come in brandishing weapons, everyone just hits the ground. And you can picture Ron in a duster with a fucking shotgun. Where's Bill? I think of that story so much.
He wanted to trade a shotgun for boots.
For like a bottle of whiskey. But his stories, I want to, you know, the best is, I'm sure I told someone this recently, is in Montreal. He's doing Chris D'Elia Unmasked. Uh-huh. I didn't see any fucking shows in Montreal. I don't give a shit about seeing anything except for Chris D'Elia Unleashed. Unmasked.
Yeah.
I love Unmasked. So I wanted to see Unmasked. So I had like a meeting with my managers and agents at some restaurant across town. I left it early so I could make Unmasked. So yeah. I get to Unmasked and they're like, hey, what's up? I was like, nothing. And Ron's like pacing around and he goes, D'Elia's a no show. I said, what? And he goes, we haven't heard from him. No one's talked to him. We have no confirmation. He's a no-show. I was like, okay. And he goes, you think you can do it?
Right. So and now, for you, like, this is what people don't understand about you. Like, it's the same thing with Dave Attell. Like, you still got that thing in you where you're a fan of stuff. You haven't been jaded to the point. Like, you're still, when Ron goes, you want to do Unmasked, you're not thinking, you know, oh, I'm a comic and I do interviews. And this is, you're like, this is it. This, like, you're a fan of Bennington. And you go back to when you're a kid or when you're a teenager listening to this dude. Yeah.
I'm thinking of... Holy shit, I can tell you, turning the corner, and he'd know this specifically, turning the corner going from South Tampa to North Tampa on 275 right at downtown, right by Ashley, there was a big billboard, Ron and Ron. And I'm as he said that, I see that billboard in my head, and I'm like, oh my God, this is it. Now, I've done his show and stuff, but Unmasked is a little bit of his, like, I'd say his current opus. His long form interview with comedians.
Yeah, I mean he's really proud of it. He takes pride in it, and it's like he puts the effort in to take down and try to connect with these people. So this would be the opportunity for you to get to connect with one of your radio heroes.
I've made it. I've made it in my book. I've made it because the guy I've respected for all these years and looked up to, and now is a somewhat of a peer, but is acknowledging that I'm there. I want to interview you and find out about your art. Are you shitting me?
Right.
It starts with you. Like I learned comedy from fucking listening to...
You're going to be the worst Unmasked ever because you're just going to be like, remember that time you and Ron had the billboard and you were going... You're like, this isn't...
So let those puppies breathe. So he goes, yeah. He goes, we'll wait for D'Elia, but can you do it? And I was like, oh, yeah. So I go back in the back of the room and I'm like fucking going through like things I can talk about. I was probably going to want to talk about... You know, some stuff, you know, and you know the kind of stuff, the kind of gossip that is in my life that maybe might come out. How am I going to handle that? Because I don't want to talk shitty about anybody, but I do want to be honest to the situation.
Like, you're going to have to, you can't joke I can't dodge it.
I can't dodge it. So I'm like, all right, here we go. All right, you know what? If it's going to be anyone that's, if I'm going to talk about any subject that I've never talked about, if I'm talking about it, it's with Ron Bennington.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, so I'm like nervous. And then so he comes up and he's like, he's in the back. He's like, D'Elia's a no show. You ready? And I was like, yeah. He goes, all right, just, you know, I don't have to tell you anything. Just have fun, and I'll bring you up and whatever. So I'm like, okay. So he's like, ladies and gentlemen, please put your – and Ron's standing there for Ron Bennington, and he taps me. He goes, I'm just kidding. D'Elia's here. And he just walks up.
No way.
I'm in the back going, it was so fucking funny. And he
knows what a fan you are because you've gone on his show.
Exactly. And told him that. It was so fucking funny. And I was like in the back and I was like, that is perfect. That is like, that's better than doing the Unmasked because I had all the fun of getting accepted to the Unmasked and I didn't have to fail and I didn't have to answer any questions and I didn't have to have everyone in the audience go, who the fuck is Bert Kreischer?
Right.
We're here to see Chris D'Elia.
And you got to have Ron Bennington play a joke on you.
Yeah, it was great. Which is amazing.
That's so funny. And then, so when he goes, I'm just kidding, D'Elia's here and walks away, are you sitting there going like, but was that the joke, or is he being serious now? Like, you have to sit there and kind of figure out, like, are we... So I'm not doing it then?
Or? I literally was like, wait, hold on. And then I'm looking for Chris D'Elia, and then D'Elia just walks in, and he's like... No, I'm not saying that it wasn't, like, a highlight of his career, but I'm sure he's had bigger things go on in his career.
Sure.
So D'Elia just went up and did a great interview. I wanted to watch the interview. I find D'Elia to be a really interesting guy. Uh-huh. Genuinely, I love that one of the coolest questions Ron asked was... you know, like, what do you want out of this business? And D'Elia, like, unabashedly was like, I want to be an action star.
And he was being serious.
He was being dead serious. And in my head, I was like, I see it.
Being an action star.
He's a good-looking dude.
Right.
He's got a comedic sensibility.
Right.
Like, he's in great shape.
Is he in great shape?
Yeah. I mean, he's not fat.
Right. Like right.
I mean, I don't see
him
shredded.
But he'd have to get become more muscular, though. He'd have to become a bigger guy. He'd have to gain a lot of muscle, wouldn't he?
I don't know. Like Bruce Willis.
But Bruce Willis is bigger than Chris D'Elia.
Nah, not when Bruce Willis became Die Hard.
I guess that's true.
I'm not arguing that Chris D'Elia should. I'm not like Chris D'Elia should argue that point for himself. But I will say, I wouldn't mind seeing a comedic voice as an action hero. Not like,
so if they said we're remaking Die Hard and Chris D'Elia is the guy, would you be like, oh?
No, I'd be like, give me 1 month to work out and get hair plugs and let me try.
Right, you can audition.
Because I wouldn't want to be an action star.
Right.
But I wouldn't mind being like Die Hard, like funny action star.
Right.
Like I've always pitched a movie, and I'll pitch it out loud because I've pitched it and no one's ever wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to do a movie where I was a kind of a go-nowhere guy, didn't have a job that I liked, didn't know what I was doing with my life, and kind of like a little bit of a waste. But I had family and everyone was succeeding, and I was getting older. I was like 40 years old.
Yeah.
And I went on a singles cruise. I got on one of those barefoot singles cruise, and pirates come over and take over Somali pirates take it over. And I realized I'm not very good in society, but I make a really good hostage. And so all I try to do is perpetuate the hostagedom. Like, I'm not trying to save us. I'm trying to make us kept hostages.
Because you like being a hostage.
I like being a hostage. Yeah. Everyone, it's like,
it's exciting.
And people are fucking, oh my God, what, is Bert okay?
Right, they feel bad
for
you.
Yeah, and these pirates are bad pirates. They're fucking Somali pirates out in the Pacific. They've gotten lost, and now they're kidnapping a ship on its way to Ensenadas or whatever.
Right.
And it's like Weekend at Bernie's, because they all end up dying, and I've got to keep it so that everyone thinks the hostage is...
Oh, they just talked to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just want us
like,
all to stay
here. I'm their
go-between.
Bert, you speak Somali? I do. Let me translate. Yeah. They're going to want PlayStations for everyone on the... I don't know. These
don't
are
know.
Their regrets.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, and so I tried to... And then as I pitched it, someone in the room said, did you just pitch me Jury Duty with Pauly Shore?
That's about to say. That's exactly... Like, it's like Pauly Shore and Jury Duty just enjoying himself.
Yeah.
In the jury pool.
It's actually not a bad pitch, Jury Duty. Like,
I mean, it was a decent movie.
I don't remember it.
I mean, it was decent when I was a kid.
I have a hard time because I really enjoyed Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
Like, I really.
As a person or in.
As an actor.
As an actor.
I loved him. And as a comedian, too. I mean, I remember when I first got into comedy, kind of, is when I was in Russia, I really decided I wanted to be a comedian. And this guy that I was partying with every night. It was a guy named John. I wrote about him in my book, Life of the Party. You can get it on Amazon.com or at burt.com. But he would tell me, is that my phone buzzing? He would, it's in my fucking pocket this whole time. he would tell me jokes. Like he was a real big fan of comedy. And one of the first jokes told me it was a Pauly Shore joke. And I started laughing hysterically. And he was like, yeah, man,
Pauly Shore is the guy who got you into comedy?
Technically. The first.
So how come Pryor's up there? It should be Pauly Shore everywhere.
The first joke I ever heard was Sam Kinison on the back of a bus with Brian Callahan. We were going ice skating for our class, like probably eighth grade, seventh grade, maybe sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
We were going ice skating, and he played Sam Kinison, and I died fucking laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of like a comedy kind of fucking plateaued. Like when I was in college, there weren't any comics doing it. Great.
Right.
And then this guy John told me a Pauly Shore joke. It's like, my dad said to me, when I was a kid, I had to walk 5 miles in the snow uphill both ways. Oh, yeah. Have you ever tried to? The other day, I had two hits of ecstasy, a line of coke, and two bong hits, and I had to get next door. And like, it was a funny joke. I did it injustice. And then I saw like Son-in-Law, and there's the scene where he gets hit and he starts crying. I thought that was so fucking funny. I laughed out loud in the movie theater and I couldn't stop fucking laughing.
Was it like an uproarious laughter in the theater, or was it just you laughing?
Just me.
Okay.
Just me. And I there's only a couple other times I've ever done that, and one of them is in 22 Jump Street. Have you ever seen that?
I saw the film.
One of my favorite fucking movies. And it's because of the line when they're the first day before they're about to go to school, and he's like, should we go over our profiles? And he's like, no, it's super easy. You're the jock, I'm the theater guy. And he goes, we don't need to do that. And then they sit down at the desk, and he goes, so, I see your profiles. Which one of you is Dan? I could not stop laughing. I was like, that's perfect. That's perfect comedy. Which one of you is Dan? And they're like,
Everybody in the movie theater is like looking at you.
I couldn't stop laughing, and I have such an annoying loud laugh that it. People were upset because the story keeps going. Like they keep talking in the movie. They don't hold for laugh.
No,
and I could not stop.
They probably
fucking
do
laughing.
More jokes.
Oh,
like there's probably other jokes that you missed because you were laughing.
Yeah. Oh, and I wasn't until I saw it the second time.
Yeah.
Because I automatically knew the rest of it. Like, which one to use, Dan? I know they're going to get them wrong.
Right.
But he's like, oh, I wouldn't pitch you as an athlete. Jonah Hill is fucking funny, man.
Yeah.
That guy is legit funny.
It's interesting with Jonah Hill. He lost weight and everybody started hating him for some reason.
He was funny skinny and he was funny fat.
Yeah, I mean, both those Jump Street movies are really funny.
Hilarious.
Everything, all the Apatow movies he did, he's hilarious in.
Dude,
and he's good in Moneyball.
Not super fucked.
Super bad.
Super bad? When he talks to the teacher, when he's like, no offense, like, it is such good acting.
Mm-hmm.
It is such good, it's so fucking well done that you're, if you don't like that, I can never speak to you again.
And you know, he's even good in This Is the End. Did you see This Is the End?
Yeah.
Where he's pretty much playing.
The best part of This Is the End. And this is what I look for sometimes when I write scripts, is I don't care about being funny. I want this moment. The moment is the best moment is when Danny McBride shows up.
Yeah.
Dude.
And he steps out of the bathtub and the music's playing and it's like, here it comes. Like, this is act two and it's on.
Oh, and you see him making all the fucking
just sizzling up the bacon.
What's up? What's up, bitches?
He's made a grand breakfast for everyone.
So fucking funny.
Yeah.
That scene, that Danny McBride embodies something different in comedy that you cannot put your finger on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lovable unlikableness.
Yeah.
Like, there are things Danny McBride's done. And by the way, I did not enjoy Fist Fuck Way. Yeah. I didn't enjoy that. I thought it was okay. I didn't see. But man, when Kenny Powers showed up.
I mean, from the moment when that show starts, I think it was the first episode, when you hear voiceover and it's Kenny Powers and he's driving. And you're thinking, oh, this is voiceover for the series. And you realize he's listening to his own book on tape that he's narrating. And he's like, fuck yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
My favorite scenes is when he's trying to get back his girlfriend. And she's sitting at the table for the other teachers. Yeah. And he's got his tray with him. Uh-huh. And he's like, say I won't slam this tray. And someone goes, don't slam that tray. And he goes, say I won't. And he goes, just please don't. And he goes, oh yeah. Wham! And he slams the tray. I'm literally like, fuck. I mean, he has, I could watch that guy eat crackers for real. And what's crazy is I know what's crazy about that guy is you know a ton of guys like that.
Right.
You know?
But Danny McBride, when he does characters, he has figured out how to put – because in order for those unlikable characters to be lovable, you have to see vulnerability. Like, you have to feel bad for them for a second.
Yeah.
And I feel like Danny McBride has figured out the least amount of vulnerability you need to show for it to work. Because it's like a second – where you go, oh, my heart goes out to this guy. And then he does the shittiest thing ever. You're like, son of a bitch.
I wish if I could have in my life one moment in one movie. Like, I don't want to be in movies at all. I have no interest in being in movies. I'd like to do scripted only because.
Why don't you have any interest in being in movies?
I don't like. Maybe that'll change if I do single camera. I don't enjoy single camera.
Mm-hmm.
I don't enjoy the vulnerability. I get very nervous. I feel like I suck.
So you like, because all the shows you've done have been like reality shows and shows like that, where it's like, I can just be me and you'll edit this together and find the stuff.
And if I make the crew laugh, which is my favorite thing to do,
right,
it gets put in the show.
Right.
So like I'll show you the sizzle for Bert the Conqueror after this.
Yeah.
Because it's coming back in June. And it's all it is really is the network said, we want to do it again. They were in a big transition phase. So there wasn't a ton of people at the time making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of like, you know, just, like literally, we trust you. We've been in the network 6 years. All we want is you to have fun. And if you have fun, it'll look like the show's fun. And that's all we care. Have a fucking good time. Travel should be inspiring. It should make people want to go travel.
Right.
But we don't need you to be an expert. Just go have a really great time. And then hopefully that'll inspire people to go have a really great time.
Right.
And so I got, I mean, they, everything. The production company said, you know, take, pick your crew that you want to travel with. And so I picked my cameraman and my sound guy. And they said, you know, there's a list of things we're thinking about. Is there anything that you don't want to do? And I, there wasn't, there's only like a couple of things I didn't want to do, but it was just because I have a inner ear. I didn't want to do spinny shit, you know, but I did do a lot of spinny shit.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't do like a ton of like,
what happens to you when you do spinny
stuff? Just
stuff?
Get motion sick.
Gotcha.
It's just like fucking not fun.
Right.
And then it's like, I'm not funny. I'm not enjoyable. I actually become a little bit of a dick.
Right.
So I'm like, I just want to go home. And right. then the day is shot. And we're like, well, we just killed a day.
Right.
But it is fun. And it's just me trying to make my crew and the people around me laugh. That's it. It's all it is. And so, and I can be as crazy as I want or as not crazy as I want or as fun as I want. And it's just fun. And so I love that. And I think I've fallen into this comfort zone with making television or entertainment, with entertaining on screen as just being myself. So if I do a scripted, I'm in the very early stages of doing a scripted thing that I'm going to write and hopefully have more of control over.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Like when you see like, you know, Louis get crazy success with his show and now Bill Burr's got a cartoon on Netflix and it's like that's kind of the thing that's becoming, like, there are all these outlets now where when you've been a comedian long enough and you've built enough of a following and you know what you're doing, now you do have options to build projects yourself and put them out there. Does that make you be like, you know, I really should be doing a series or a movie or something?
Well, I don't want to leave Travel Channel. And we talked about this earlier about contract renegotiations mm-hmm. and stuff. And I'll put this out there, and if I don't end up working at the network after this Bert the Conqueror run, then you'll know that it was their choice. Yeah, because I love that network. I really do love that network, and I love scripts. I love scripts across the board. I like the content they provide. It's lifestyle media. It's DIY cooking.
What's Scripps?
Scripps owns Cooking Channel, Food Network, DIY, HGTV, Great American Country, and Travel.
Gotcha.
And so what it is it's. I mean, this is probably stuff I shouldn't share, but this is the truth.
Yeah.
It's lifestyle branding. It's how should you live your life? Right. We've got ideas. This is how you build a fence. This is how you put in a pool. This is how you make a souffle.
Right.
This is how you can grill a steak. Bobby Flay will show you how to make make monkey bread out of pecan monkey bread.
Sure.
So like it's stuff where you watch and you go, shit, I want that in my life.
Right.
And I love that. I mean, that's what I watch. I watch DIY. I watch food. I watch cooking because cooking is is just different than food. Food's more big these days. It seems like it's a lot of like tentpole shows.
Sure.
I like watching a cook something. I like watching. I'm a fan of the early cooking shows with Bobby and Ming.
Yeah, yeah.
And Rachel, Emerald, and those guys. And I love travel. I love that travel inspires you to want to live a better life. I mean, I love that I watch like Josh Gates and I go, God damn it, I need a new pair of boots.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, like I love that. I love that I watch Adam and I go, fuck, man, I want a bolognese pasta
uh-huh.
on a pizza. Like I love that kind of branding and I love being a part of it.
And it seems like people attach themselves to the host too because they're like, that host is doing what I want to do and he's enjoying it. I enjoy this host. He reminds me of me. I would be having fun, too.
I think that's what I love about what they do is that you hang out at like big parties.
Yeah.
It's all regular people. Like, Bobby Flay has sat where you sat because he said, I want to do a podcast. At one party, he goes, I want to do a podcast. I said, you want to do my podcast? He's like, yeah. Literally, but because he's so fucking regular.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, what do? I go, just come over to my house.
Yeah.
He's like, what? It was coming to my house. Of course, Bobby comes over in a fucking three-piece suit, not realizing that it's just sitting in my man cave.
Right, and you got your Zubas on.
Yeah, I actually did. I was actually in workout clothes. And so, but they're all really regular people. When you hang out with Rachel, now granted, she is Rachel Ray. She is a mega star. But when you go to Mexico with Rachel, she's like, what do you want to do tonight? Like a real person.
Right.
And you're like, I don't know, what do you want to do? And she's like, should we just get takeout, bring it to my room? And you're like, great.
Well, that's like it's amazing when that stuff happens because like last night we were doing the show from Maria Menounos' house
mm-hmm.
and like people see Maria Menounos and she's like doing the entertainment reporting and she always looks flawless and she's talking about what this celebrity's doing and everything is like so perfect, but then you just talked to her last night and you heard it on the air, all she was doing was sitting around and talking about getting shit faced in Mexico.
Yeah,
like it's just she just likes to hang out.
Here's the thing: there are people that aren't like that.
Mm-hmm.
They are like I don't think I'm. I would hate to jump on the bandwagon and say something negative about Kim Kardashian because I don't know her.
Right.
But she doesn't give off the vibe that, like, that she's real. like that she cuts her own toenails, you know?
Right. Like, she's probably got a toenail cutter.
Yeah, she's definitely, she hasn't cut a toenail.
Right.
I'm going to ballpark it in like 15 years.
There's been in-house pedicures for some time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobby Flay was cutting his own toenails.
Right. Right. I like, that's the difference.
Yeah, I hang out with motherfuckers that cut their own toenails.
Right. Like, I look around a house that I get to, and I'm like, okay, where's the fucking nail clipper? And I don't mean a person. I mean a little metal thing that they won't let you take on an airplane anymore.
Yeah,
where
exactly.
Is it? Where is it?
And then I think that's why I connect with those. I connect with that brand. That's why I like being on travel, is when you have those big things, it's a bunch of very real people
right. Floating
around. And I love working for travel. I love shooting those shows. I love traveling the world. I love having the life experiences they provided me. Having said that, I started doing a vlog, and I got really interested in content. And what, you know, I worked with Louis 11 years ago, and Louis said, and this was like early curious Louis. I saw Louis the other night, and I think we just said hi or something. Louis's in a different stratosphere these days.
Yes.
And honestly, talking to him, I don't know if he'd remember me. I said to someone it would hurt my feelings if he didn't, but there are a lot of people I've worked with that I would not remember.
Yeah, but I would imagine you would remember you because
maybe
you're,
not.
You're a pretty public dude. Like, it's not, you know,
I don't know, maybe.
I think so, maybe.
But I remember the conversation we had, and he had said he had to drive across country. This was when he was still married. His wife had flown with the girls, and he had to drive with his dog. And he was like we were in the car. We were driving from West Palm to Fort Lauderdale to the airport. And he was like, yeah, man, it was really fun to edit that stuff. Like, you know, I was shooting stuff with my dog and just editing. I really enjoyed it. Like, and you should take a look. It's on my website. And so I went and I took a look on his website and I watched it. It was really good. It was really good for what it was then. And I emailed him, and I think he emailed me back, and he was like, oh, I really appreciate you taking the time to watch it.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, this is 11 fucking years ago.
Yeah.
And now, recently, I go, hey, man, I really got inspired by that one conversation I had with Louie, and I said, I've got all the equipment to do this stuff. And I saw these two guys, Casey Neistat and Mr. Ben Brown. Casey Neistat's in New York. You should have him on your show.
Okay.
And tell that motherfucker that I'm the reason he got on your show.
I will.
Because I tried to get him on my podcast, and he's just busy. But I think if he saw XM in front of the email, he'd be like, okay, this is legit. This is I don't think he really understands the power of podcasting yet. But he's a vlogger. He does a daily vlog, and I watch it every single day. And I got inspired by him. Mr. Ben Brown, this guy out of South Africa, he's the first one that inspired me because I saw him and he inspired me to live a better life. And I went, whoa, I got a really good compliment out of doing my vlog that's similar, but I don't know why I told you that. That sounds a little ego-driven. But but he inspired me. Mr. Ben Brown his name's Ben Brown. I don't know. His YouTube channel is Mr. Ben Brown.
Gotcha.
He had a video of him and his girlfriend just deciding at the last minute that they were going to go camping.
Okay.
And they went out. They live in South Africa. They just went out to this place. They didn't know where they went. They just got lost. And they camped, and they woke up the next morning, and they went for a hike.
In South Africa?
In South Africa.
I'd be worried about elephants and stuff.
It's a regular city. The elephants are out in the preserves, or the reserves. Preserves is a
probably
fruit.
The reserves.
I think preserves a fruit.
Yeah.
So
and like blackberry preserves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I watch it, and I go, fuck, man, I want to pick the girl. I literally watched it, and I thought, I want to pick the girls up. My initial thought, I want to pick the girls up from school on Friday and go, guys, we're going camping tonight. And I called Leanne, and I told her that. She goes, that's a great idea. Where'd you get it? I go, some fucking thing on YouTube. And I'm in Philly at the time. I'm in Philly, and I thought, well, I bet I have the ability to inspire people. I bet I have the ability to make what he does. I have cameras. I can edit. I know how to use it. So I did my first vlog in Philly at
And you edited it yourself.
Edited it myself, and it's a little long. It's like 9 minutes.
Right.
These guys do like long-form videos. Right. So I put it up, and I got really solid response. I got 2,000 views of people that really watched it and said, hey, Bert, this is really cool. I'd like to see more stuff like this. All fans, legit fans. Mm-hmm. So I did another one. I'm at like number 17 right now. And it's that same thing, and I watched that, and I thought of Louis saying it was fun to do. I learned a lot. You know, it's a lot of fun to learn something new.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm learning, and so I'm learning editing. And so I thought, this vlog's really fun. I send it to all the people that I've had that I've worked with that are producers, and I go, hey, give me notes. And they come. One of the best notes I got was like, my buddy Paul was like, hey, when you edit, you're supposed to edit on the music cues. That's when you change shots.
Right.
Man, change my fucking editing. Like, and then I just steal music and yeah. put whatever music I want. So I was like, oh, that's so cool. So now having said that, I'm doing that. And then I'm like, I don't know where this vlog is going. I don't know how long. It's a little self-obsessed. Like,
yeah.
Egotistical.
But that's everything. I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it? That's
but
kinda...
I look at Louis, and to get back to the subject, I look at Louis and I go, he took editing and all this stuff and then made his product, and now he's doing his own shit. Now he's doing Zach stuff and
right.
Pam Adlon stuff. And I thought, oh, that's cool. I bet I can do that. And so then I sat down and I was like, I'm going to write a script that I'm going to shoot. And I know a guy that will let me shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, maybe I'll make my own fucking thing. And yeah. and it may not be great right away.
Well, that's it. That's the smart way to do it, because that's also the way that Louis did it, and that's the way anybody that excels in it does it.
Yeah.
Like, you do it to do it, you do it to learn it, you do it for the craft. A lot of people will, like, go, oh, look at the success he's having. All right, I'm going to learn how to video. Oh, why don't I have 100,000 views on this? Oh, never mind.
See, that's the problem with this business, is people want the celebration as opposed to the work.
Right.
And I'm once again, I am not on the bandwagon to suck Louis' dick. But I, because everyone does that these days.
Sure, sure, sure.
Him and Bill, all anyone does is say they're the greatest that ever lived. I don't think they want that adoration. I think
right.
they want to be regular fucking people.
Right.
Look at what they've done, and what I do with Bill and Louis is I look at what they've done, and I thought, what did they get out of that? What did they see? What did they pull from that experience? And what it seems to me Louis's done is he just puts himself in situations where he can grow artistically.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, I can grow artistically. How do I do that for me, for Bert? Well, number one, let's shoot. Let's work on a vlog. Let's learn how to edit. Let's learn how to overlap music and take dialogue from one scene and underlap
yep.
it. Let's learn how to do that. And then out of that, we'll learn how to tell story. And then once we learn that story, then let's take it and do scripted. And so I started writing a script that, like I said, that I think, I don't want to be the guy that just goes, I don't want to make a script and shoot it and then have – and be the guy. I'd rather be the guy that, like – 20,000 people really fucking liked it.
Right.
But it failed, but really liked it. And
it's you, and it's something that, and you
and
feel,
I made it,
yes.
and I made it,
yes.
as opposed to the guy that I just pitched an idea, and
right.
then writers wrote it, editors edited it, guys
right.
did this, and then it's a hit.
I mean, that's you. Every actor I interview is like, no, I get the script, I figure out the character, I go, I act, that's
yeah.
my part, and then I'm done. And like
I don't want to be that guy.
That drives me crazy.
I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be a fucking hired. You know, I know actors, like legit actors that kids go to our school. Do you know the panic in their fucking eyes when they go? I go, what are you going to do now? And they're like, I don't know.
And they could be very, very successful actors. Like they could have had a major project, and then it's like, hey, I don't know what comes next.
There's a security that resides in making your own content and having the ability to make your own content.
And it's a weird thing that happens too when like, because I've been editing video forever since, like I learned it like when I was in high school and then as stuff goes, but I edit my own videos for my show. And so it's like, I video everything I do and then I go home and make YouTube stuff
yeah.
of everything I do on the air. And it's like, I end up taking like an hour long bit on whatever it was and turn it into 3 or 4 minutes, so it's more kind of vloggy friendly.
Yeah.
But I like cutting it down and figuring out where the punches are. And then when I'm doing radio, I'm thinking, okay, I just did a good 30 seconds here, a good 30 seconds there. Those two can come together. And as I'm doing the show.
It's amazing.
Like literally, as we were talking, when we were talking about the man cave and everything in here, Jess is over there filming this. And I don't even know what I'm going to do with it. I don't know if I'm going to, but I
yeah.
just, everything. And Jess is over there filming. And I'm talking to you and staying track of the conversation, but at the same time, I'm remembering. And then after this, I'm going to tell Jess, because at one point she was shooting what the man cave looks
yeah.
like, and I'm going to tell Jess for next time, shoot it after. Just shoot us, because I can overlay that with the audio anyway.
And
so like I'm sitting there
going
like
that. I'm two steps ahead
of
that. Do you know what I'm thinking? Do a pull, like swing the camera so I can then swing the camera and get the shots. Like I'm thinking of ways to edit it.
Right.
And it, when you make something, when you make anything, let's start with a grilled cheese sandwich.
Right.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about fucking art or making a video or making anything. A grilled cheese sandwich. If you just start very simply and you learn where you fucked up, you're like, oh shit, I had the pan way too hot. Next time you do it, you drop the pan down to medium high.
Yep.
You're like, oh, that actually, I wonder if I cooked it at low. And you learn to make a great grilled cheese sandwich. Well, that applies to everything. It applies
right.
to this medium that we're making right here with podcasting. I've learned very quickly, don't say someone's name when you say something negative. I started, stop doing that. Like, and then, but it happens with editing and with all kind of things is, and I think that's what Louis was doing back when I talked to
him. I remember when Louis was coming in and doing Opie and Anthony, and this was like, I think this was right after Lucky Louis got canceled after the first season, and it was like, you know, nobody's really paying attention.
He was
to
making
Louis.
A grilled cheese sandwich.
Right.
That's all he was doing.
But he would like come in, and he'd have like 1 week, he'd have this weird little camera, and he was just shooting stuff in the studio, and it wasn't for anything. It was just to learn how to use this little like 16 millimeter Bolex black and white camera.
Yeah.
That he was just learning. And then the next week, and I mean, and then it comes full circle. He actually came in probably two or three years ago, and he has his laptop and he's got a little hard drive connected to it. And during the commercial breaks, he's in Final Cut editing episodes of Louis for FX on his laptop in commercial breaks of his radio appearances. And I'm like, this is what people who are creative should be doing.
Dude,
like doing it all and doing it all the time.
If I could just get better, I would like to get better quicker because it does, I do have this instrument. Right now I'm moving media onto this hard drive so I can edit a vlog.
Yeah.
But like, I just want to get better quicker and learn a quicker way to do it. Because, but then you get in this like really creative like mind space where you're just like you're totally right. And you can do all of this by yourself.
Yeah.
Look at like,
but it should take hours for the first few weeks, months, whatever it is, like these little projects that eventually are going to take you 20 minutes to do.
Yeah.
It should take hours at the beginning because otherwise you're not doing it. You're not learning it.
You're not learning it. And so it's really interesting. My growth in this business, I just wish it had happened earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm 43. I still am young. I'm still young because I do look at Louis and Bill's age and I go, I judge myself by that.
Right.
And so
yeah, it's a little comfortable. Right?
Yeah.
I got a few years.
I got a few years.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it better happen soon.
Yeah. I don't have any years to fuck around, yeah. But I got a few years to learn.
Like, I have no interest in shooting a movie only because I couldn't edit that much of footage.
Right.
Like, I want to just shoot a TV show and edit it and make it. And I bet I can make it good. I bet I can make it really good. And so hopefully I'll learn how to do that. And then, but that's my theory on. I mean, I'm obsessed right now with vlogs.
And are you using like iMovie?
No.
Are you Final Cut?
I'm using iMovie. I almost got Final Cut, and I think it's just too. I'm like, you know what?
It's $300.
No. It's too complicated for me.
Oh.
Like, I just figured out iMovie pretty fucking good. I just figured out like little things that I was like, how come I can't move this audio? Every time I do that, it seems like it wants to just grab this little section of audio. And then I just went, maybe I should go online and find out why that's happening.
Right.
I'm like, oh, I'm holding my finger down too long.
But that's that rushing thing. Like, why not, like, master iMovie?
Yeah.
And then once it's like there's nothing to learn here anymore,
yeah,
then you upgrade.
I'm obsessed with – I so badly want to I was like, I don't know what I want to do with this vlog because it is very, like – not egotistical, but like we're self-involved, egomaniacal, like
narcissistic.
That's the word I was looking for. And I was like, what am I gonna do with this vlog? And then we have this theory going floating around our house that Isla can time travel.
Why is that? Isla's how old?
Isla's 9.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find it.
Yeah.
She had these pills in her room that were from this diet doctor from the 70s or from the 90s in L.A.
Really?
Yeah, they're on her desk, and Leanne's like, "Did you leave these with her?" And I was like, "No." And then one night she came in. I was put her to bed. And she goes, "Hey, Dad, I need to talk to you." I go, "Okay." So I go in her room. She's up in her top bunk. I go, "What's up?" She goes, "Do you believe in time travel?" And I was like, "By the way, I really believe in time. I really believe in time
you believe
travel.
It's happening now. Not that it's possible, but the people are time traveling.
100%.
Okay, and this
I
is
believe in this more than I believe in death.
Death is 100% going to happen.
And so is time travel.
Wow, okay. And it's happening.
That. It's happening. It's happening. I believe it.
Right.
I believe it. Right. I really believe it. Like,
yeah, okay.
Now, and by the way, I believe it the same way people believe in God. I have faith
that
it's happening.
Right.
Like, I'm not crazy.
You don't
believe
have scientific evidence. You don't have empirical
proof. There's no proof, but
right.
I do think that it's happening. I do think. And so she says this to me, and I'm like, fucking yes. Finally, me and my kid are connected. I'm like,
and
yes.
And you felt this way for quite some time.
since I was a kid. Since I was a kid, I believed in time travel.
Well, a lot of kids believe in time travel, but most of them, like they get older.
I am obsessed with time travel. Leanne says there's two types of people, Bert. People who like time travel movies and people who don't. And I go, I fucking love them. She goes, I'm well aware of that. Like, I will go into great detail about the time traveler's wife.
I was about to ask you, because like everybody goes to Back to the Future, but if you're really a time travel fan,
dude,
Time Traveler's Wife would be the movie.
I've seen every time travel movie there is.
Is that right?
If I see something about time travel, you ever seen the one where they go into the bar and then they go into the bathroom? When they come out of the bathroom, it's a portal and they're in a different place.
I don't think so.
It's so fucking good.
It is?
Yeah. Oh,
do you remember what it's called?
No, it's the time travel bathroom movie.
Okay.
And like they come out, everyone's been murdered, and they're like, what the fuck? And they go back in the bathroom, come out, and then everyone's normal, and they're like, what the fuck?
What about a movie that's like, it's not exactly, it's not time travel.
Okay.
But it is Blast from the Past.
Which
where
one?
Brendan Fraser is living with his dad, Christopher Walken, in a bomb shelter.
Yeah.
And it's the 60s, and then he comes back
and it's
the
90s. I enjoy that.
But it's not.
No, I enjoy that because of the mechanism that it employs. Of like, what? A cell phone?
Right, exactly.
I love that shit. Yeah, I love that. I love when they what is this thing? A Cuisinart?
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
I love that.
And that's the sensation you get time traveling.
I love that. And so, anyways, so I say to her, she goes, do you believe in time travel? I go, yeah, I really do. She goes, do you think it's possible? Mind you, this is like 9 at night.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, do you think it's possible that I came back from the future to tell myself a secret? And now I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I've got a glass of wine shaking right now, staring at her. She's in her bunk bed. She's up on her side.
Where does the 9-year-old come up with this idea? If it's,
exactly. Yeah. And I go, yes, baby, I do. Why? And she just goes, that's all I needed to know. Good night. And just went to sleep. I go, what the fuck's a secret?
Yeah,
and
you gotta know.
And she goes, I'm just asking. I was just asking. Don't worry about it. So then Leanne comes back with these pills and says, did you leave these in Isla's room? Honestly, I have them here.
Because you kept them.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case. Yeah. You kept them on your desk.
I don't know. My desk's a fucking mess. But
red vines. I see trail mix. I see a screwdriver.
It's a brown inhaler. Little envelope and these diet pills. So I Google the doctor. The doctor was a weight loss doctor in the 90s. You can tell because it's a if you live in LA.
It's not
this
the AIDS diet, is it?
No. It's you can tell because this is if it's a 310 area code,
mm-hmm.
but it's got a LA address. And what happened in the 90s is all the LA addresses got 323. Old school OGs have the 310 number. Oh. Now 310 is just the beach. So I'm like, whoa. So I Google it, I find it, and then I'm like, Isla, where did you get? Now I'm like pulling my kid aside, going, hey, I got to talk to her about time. Are you fucking time traveling? Like, where'd you get these pills?
Yeah.
But anyway, so then it turns out she doesn't know where she got them. She has no idea. She's fucking 9.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't, Dad, I don't know how I got them. So then I started thinking, maybe I'll do that with my vlog. Maybe I'll start my first creative thing with this Isla time travel.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll, because I love time travel and I really could get into just doing, like, I mean, I pitched time traveling, like, shows, TV shows to every network. I've always wanted to be I was obsessed with Quantum Leap.
So, like, when you say time travel shows to network, you mean fictional ones? Like, you've
scripted?
Yeah.
Like, Bert, what do you want to do? These are my first few things. I always want to be a detective,
mm-hmm.
or I wanted to be a time traveler.
Or a time traveling detective. I mean, that would be the show.
I wanted to do a show where I go into bars,
yeah.
like where I have a bar, Pat's, and I walk in, and as I walk in, as soon as I get drunk, I start time traveling.
Isn't that the movie that you said you liked, except without the portal?
What?
Like you go into a bar and then there's a portal?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. But I'm drunk.
I see.
So they're like, it's like I drink and then as I walk out of the bar,
yeah.
I'm drunk.
Yeah.
And it's 1959
yeah.
in the South and I got to save Martin Luther King's life, but I'm drunk.
And then when you sober up, is that when you go back?
And when I sober up, I go back, I pass out. At
right.
some point, I wake up and I'm like, shit. And then I just pull up in the paper and they're like, Martin Luther King opens another shoe store. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
I got to go back to the bar and get drunk and get it back so that at least. And then it's like, I always end up having to get.
Right. Because if we're going to save him, I don't need him opening shoe stores.
Yeah, I don't.
Although, if it's a successful enough shoe store that the newspaper is reporting on it, it might be okay.
I haven't flushed this bitch out.
No, maybe not. So if you could time travel, where would you want to go? Would you want to go in the future or would you want to go in the past?
I don't want to go in the future.
If you could travel, time travel, you have one time. Like, I have a time machine, but it can only be used once to get you there, and I'll get you back home, too. But it's one round trip.
Okay.
Where are you going?
Let me give you four.
I gave you one round trip.
I know, but I don't want to just do one.
Give me the top four, and then we'll decide which one.
Okay, I want to go back to November, 11 years old. I just want to go back to getting home from school.
Uh-huh.
Sun is probably December because the sun's going down early,
uh-huh,
and riding my bike with it being ice cold in my Eagles jacket.
And you love that.
Dude, I think of that so much.
When you think of time travel, like if I say, okay, you get to go back to when you're 11, in your mind, are you that 11-year-old or are you the ghost of Christmas past watching that 11-year-old?
No. I'm this. I'm 43 years old and I get to get into my 11-year-old body and go, oh, fuck, I don't get winded. Like,
right,
I'm just getting on my bike and it's cold.
Oh, so you're like a spirit that just dumps into your body.
Yeah, and then I get to occupy this body for the day and go and really go, oh, man, that jump by Chris Colvin's house, I'm fucking hitting that all day.
Right.
Because I can't get hurt. I never got hurt. Like, you, now if I hit a jump on a bike and I land, I'm going to fucking be like, I broke a rib.
Right.
Like, I can't get hurt. I'm going back to, I remember that so vividly, just riding my bike with the sun going down and the lights going on and it was cold. And then getting home and, like, Monday Night Football was on.
Right.
And your dad's like, buddy, the Eagles are playing tonight. You're like, oh, shut up. Like, I would definitely go back to then. And then, and still at the same age where you could, like, cuddle up to your dad.
Right.
And, like, show him love that way as opposed to talking to him on the phone. And be like, so, did you see the burning building in Dubai?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I want to go back to then.
So that's one.
That's one. I want to I'd go back to a high school baseball game.
So everything that you want to go back to is in your life.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Well, no, I'm not going to go back to fucking 1950.
I didn't know if you wanted to explore.
Be uncomfortable about how I don't know how to be racist enough. Actually, I think they're people. I want to go back to the 20s and just listen because I don't know what to say out loud.
Okay, I understand. Okay.
Or all be right, too racist, and everyone's like, "Hey, man, dial it back." You're like, "Actually,
I'm just trying to fit in." I saw Mississippi burning, and I thought that's what we were doing.
Yeah, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to anywhere not in my lifetime.
Okay.
It's interesting that you say that because, I would all go back to experiences in my life.
Yeah, because, see, when you bring up time travel, all I think about is going to places that we haven't been.
Oh, really?
Like, I would check out, like, oh, what was the 70s? What was the 60s like? What was the 70s like?
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to do that at all.
No, I just imagine everything would be smoky. Like,
and like, kind of grainy, old film.
Like, I just show up like such a bitch. Be like, is everyone smoking inside? Like,
it would just look
this
like,
is really like.
Yeah, everywhere you go, it looks like a film noir movie.
It's just like, all the stuff that we cut out of our lives that keep us healthy now, they're just doing nonstop. Right. You're like, well, this is really good bacon, but what are you fried in? Butter. You're like, yeah. Oh-hoo. Like,
just everybody has a can of lard.
I would go back to times of my life. So I'm going to go back to a high school baseball game.
Okay,
I would love to play one. I would love to.
Because I also love that your definition of time travel, not only do you go back to your spots, but you're just going back in spirit and you can inhabit your old body.
Yes.
But you have your conscious mind.
Oh, yes, yes. And I got my other two. I want to go back to college. I want to go back to college for like during a summer, like summer's classes, not when it's packed. I don't want to go back to a Florida State football game. I want to go back to summer classes to one of those small parties that turns into the next day where everyone eats mushrooms or like a St. Paddy's Day celebration.
How long did you spend in college?
7 years, six
years. How do you spend 7 years in college and take summer classes?
I took summer classes every year.
How does that even happen?
I didn't always take them, but I lived there.
Right.
Like, I'd take like a PE class and that would be my workout for the day.
Just taking one class a semester and then one class in the summer.
Every summer, me and Obi would take, me and my buddy Obi would take a phys ed class and we'd be like, well, guess we don't need to go to the gym. We got this class. We
right.
Go to every day. We're like, all right, guys, run a mile. And you're like, all right, we're done. I want to go back to that work because I miss getting off the grid. I miss, like,
right,
there was a day when Hutch, my buddy Hutch, pulled up on a Vespa. No one had scooters at our school. Pulled up on St. Patty's Day. That's when everyone started drinking, like 5 in the morning. And he pulled up at like 11. And I was already pretty toasty. Like green lips from the green beer, covered in green. He just pulls up on a Vespa. And he's like, B-man, I got mushrooms. Hop on the back. I don't have that impulse. I have more control over myself in a bad way.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do that. If something like, Every time I see Joey Diaz, he wants me to eat edibles.
Uh-huh.
And every time I say no because I have two kids and I can't just disappear like that for a day. I can't
right.
just. I
mean, right.
Edibles are effectively what mushrooms were to me as, in college.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're just very strong.
Right.
And so, like, but I remember Hutch said that. And whatever part of me that existed then, it's still there in spirit a lot of times, mm-hmm. but it's just like to go, oh, yeah. Like, to literally kill my beer and be like, I'll be back. I'm going to do mushrooms. And then I did mushrooms. I sat on the back of the Vespa backwards. And then we drove around tripping our balls off through like tree lined streets of Florida State. Just, and I, by the way, I've been there at this point. I must've been there 5 years.
Right.
Everyone knew who the fuck I was.
Right.
So literally you're just waving to people like, hey, and they're like, Bert, Hutch. You're like, hey, just listening to Hutch had a boom box with him. And we're listening to fucking, what was the, The Offspring.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, that doesn't
Smash?
Exist. I don't know. I remember it's Drive My Car or something.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's when they were good.
Yeah. So I want to go back to then. I want to go back. I would love to go to I'd probably when Georgia and Isla were babies. Because I don't remember that really. Like, cause I was here.
Oh, because you were traveling and everything.
Yeah, and when I was home, I was fucking worried about money.
Okay, so now you can be in spirit in places that you weren't at?
No. I'd go back to where when I was here.
I'm
not
going
to send myself
have.
To Omaha.
Okay.
You know? I'm using Omaha today. Everyone's going to be like, what the fuck's wrong with Omaha, man?
Yeah.
I'd go back to when they were babies. We lived in the apartment.
Gotcha.
And Leanne was working, and I didn't hate it, but I hated it so much. And by the way, this is an interesting conversation because I'm doing a lot of this these days. A lot of what we're talking about is what I'm trying to do with my life is I would go back to a moment when Leanne was working. Mm. I was featuring or barely headlining, like just started headlining. I was making $1,200, $1,300 a weekend was what I'd make. That was my deal. And I'd do 13 clubs, maybe 20 clubs, and I'd do anything I could to get money. We were broke. And I couldn't – I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed life a ton back then. But like Leanne would be like, you're home. You have the girls. And I just remember looking at those days and being like, what am I going to fucking do? Like, almost stressed out. Like,
yeah, totally.
Like, you guys don't understand. I want to enjoy this time with you guys at the mall or over at the park.
But
like, I don't try to write jokes.
Yeah.
I gotta worry about, like, how am I going to make money? Like, I was just so stressed.
Yes.
And I enjoyed them. And I'm not saying that I was, like, a bad parent, but
You just mentally weren't able to enjoy it because you're so worried about the other stuff going on. Like, you can be there and do the things you're supposed to do. But you yourself
were out of I was out of the moment.
Exactly.
And now I would know, hey man, it all works out. You're gonna be fine.
Right.
Like, and I guess I don't know, just there's such uncertainty with being a father at that age. For me, I was a young dad in that I was 32, which is still kind of young these days.
Sure.
And that I didn't have a career. I was
young, especially in show business when you're trying to make it yourself.
Yeah. I mean, when you think, you know, someone like Bill has doesn't have kids, or Louis had kids. Louis kind of knows that probably fear.
Sure.
But like, I definitely would go back so I could really enjoy the girls and know full well, hey guys, in 2 years, we're going to have a house. In 2 years, your mom will be done working and she'll never have to work again. And like, I would love to go back to that time and just like the littlest things. Like, I remember watching Tough Crowd with Georgia. Every morning I'd come home, I'd sit this way in our apartment. I'd sit Georgia's butt right in my legs and I'd watch Tough Crowd. And these are all guys that I'd known in New York doing Tough Crowd.
Right.
And it was an interesting feeling because I remember thinking to myself, had I not left New York, I might have been on that show. Like, had I not left New York, I would have just kept working with these guys.
Right.
And I would have been
You've
on
been one
show.
Of the guys, and they would have brought you in.
Yeah. I knew Bobby and Jim and Patrice.
Sure.
I knew every single one. Keith. I knew everyone.
Right.
And I would have worked my way up in the business, and I would have been on the show. And I'm looking at this baby going like, but here's where I am. Like, I'm really far away from Tough Crowd. I remember thinking, I'm very far away from what is now the stamp of established comedian, in my opinion.
Right.
Now I'm a guy that's doing a weekend in Dayton for $1,300, of which I bring home $700 maybe, and my wife is now getting dressed to go to work, and I've got to watch this kid. I remember just being so distant from success.
Right.
That I think that would be fun. And then I think the last one, I don't know if I have a last one.
So you just said four without actually having four?
Was that four?
No. You said that was three.
Yeah.
But you said in the beginning, can I give you four? And I assume that you had four lined up, but you just wanted four.
I just wanted four.
You just wanted the options. You just want.
Where would you go?
I would probably. I would want to go. I just want to see what things are like. Like, I like when I look at like home movies. I like looking at the way buildings and things look like. Like, does everything look different? What? Why are you laughing?
No, you're already, like, I'm already getting uncomfortable thinking of yours because you're like, I wouldn't want to go back to, like, the 30s. And all I'm thinking is, yeah, the clothes would be so fucking uncomfortable. Like, it's all wool. Yeah. There's, like, nothing. Even the underwear is uncomfortable.
Right. Like, I would want to see the way people lived. Like, I would want to see what people took for granted, you know, years ago. Like, whether it was, like, the wool clothes. Like, I would want to see that. Or the way cars were. The way buildings looked. Or the colors people used to paint things.
So you want, like, a Seinfeldian interpreter? Like, what's up?
Is that what it would be? I guess.
I mean, theoretically, it's observational. Like,
that's what
I
just want to observe things. Yeah.
Okay. Observationally, I think that would be fascinating.
That's what I would. I mean, because I don't need to go back like, it would
be
to
cool.
my life.
It would be cool to go back to the 50s and see how a woman made dinner. Like,
yeah.
Like, and just be like,
with a bruise on her face.
Yeah. and like to go, like to be like a fly on the wall and be like, a guy comes home, or like even like say your grandfather, and he's like, Doris?
Yeah.
I got company. I met him down at the work. He's going to eat dinner with us. And you got to go in. You're like, hi, Doris. And that's your grandmother. And then you see her in a cast iron skillet
right.
making pork chops. You're like, whoa.
Honestly, if I could time travel, I would probably go into the future to like, me at your age now, because I'm 32.
Yeah. Oh,
so
shit.
That way I could calm the fuck down, and then that way future me could either tell me it's all gonna be fine, or no, dude, we're gonna have to do something else.
So, what do you think you're gonna be doing when you're 42?
I think I'm gonna be fine.
Yeah.
But I would need me at 42 to be like, no, you're gonna be fine, and here's how it goes.
I had no, I could not connect the dots to get me to where I am right now.
Well, that's the thing, like, and I don't think you're supposed to be able to connect the dots. Like, if you can connect, like, when you can connect the dots over the course of 10 years, it doesn't happen.
I thought
like,
I'd be.
Nobody.
I thought I'd be.
But you're happy with where you are now.
Oh, very.
But where'd you think you were going to be?
I didn't think I'd be on television. I thought I'd be just doing stand-up.
You did.
I thought I'd be like.
So you would actually come to the point where you were like, you had said, you know what, it's okay. I'm not going to be the guy who's on TV, and that's okay. I'll be able to make a living.
I was told when I was 32, I was told by an agent that. I got upset that I wasn't going out for auditions. And mm-hmm. he's like, no offense, man. That's not going to happen for you. He's like, you're not going to be Kramer. And I was like, what? And he's like, you're not Kramer. He's like, you'll be Bert. For the rest of your life, you're going to be Bert. You're going to be some version of Bert.
But you know why you couldn't connect the dots? Because at that point, nobody had the foresight to see that you can make a living and be on television and do all this stuff
yeah.
being Bert. And it's better that you got to be Bert, but you were able to take being Bert and go on TV
yeah.
and get and then make a book out of it and do all this stuff and do a podcast.
Yeah.
And that you it's, can
it, yeah, it's interesting that that media shaped itself in that a way of being Bert. Like I guess yeah, I created a way to be Bert.
Right. Exactly.
I mean now the only note I get is let Bert be Bert.
Right.
I get that note so much on anything I do. Let Bert be Bert.
Yeah.
But I remember that Jim Hess was his name, and he was like, you're not going to be a neighbor. I'm not going to send you in as the neighbor. I'm not going to send you in for anything. I'm going to wait until you get successful enough where you can decide what you want to do.
Which, I mean, and I'm glad that I'm doing this now because I can see that you can just.
So wait, okay, let's talk
like,
about
because I don't think I could do anything besides this. Like, I've auditioned for WWE and stuff like that.
What's that? Oh, yeah.
And been like, this is it. You can work for WWE. But I knew standing there, I was wearing a suit, and I knew standing there, like, I can't be the broadcastery guy for WWE. If WWE wants Sam to come in and be Sam, which I think there's a place for that,
yeah,
I can do that, but they're just going to have to let me know when they get there because, you know, I knew as I was doing it, I'm not going to be, I can't come in because they're going to cut my hair, change my name and be like, yeah, coming up this week on da-ba-da-ba-da-da-ba-da.
Yeah.
Like that's, I can
you
never
do that, but it would make you unhappy.
Right. And yeah. So, I mean, I think I'm going to keep, Sirius is going to be around for at least 5 years because Stern signed for 5 years. So they'll be around for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
So that's five. Yeah. So I think I'll be able to continue to build this audience on Sirius because Sirius is actually like a pretty amazing medium when you get a spot like I've got. I don't think there's any place in the world where I could do 3 hours a day of whatever I want
to
do.
I listened to you. I listened to your Peter Rosenberg.
Yeah. You were texting me when Peter Rosenberg was on.
I love that guy.
And it's like that. I love that guy. I could just sit there and talk to him about like what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like I just don't think there's a spot for that anywhere else in media that has the kind of audience that Sirius has.
What you have is the opportunity to do. You walk in ground level already 4 steps ahead of a very successful podcast.
Right. Like, and I can now build an audience, and like eventually Sirius will go away, and I would hope by that point.
Or not.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, I see in the future this thing being part of a bigger Sam Roberts network that's just based around me. And that's all my videos and my shows and everything will be like, if you like Sam Roberts, here's the app. You can put it in your car. You can put it on your TV. You can put it on your computer. Here's the video. Here's a daily audio show. Because I think there's always going to be room for just straight audio shows. Not everything has to be. You should have audio and video both.
Yeah.
But like people like listening to stuff when they're driving, when they're cleaning the house, when they're doing whatever. So.
Oh, Leanne just discovered podcasts.
And she's probably rocking her world.
She's walking around with headsets everywhere.
I showed my wife the Audible app where you could get books on tape.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is incredible.
Can you show me? Because I do ads for Audible and I still don't understand how it works.
It's good. It's good. Like, I listened to the Steve Jobs book on tape. I listen. Like,
you have
it's
to
good.
Buy credit, right?
Well, you, like, you sign up, and it's a month. You can buy individual books.
Yeah.
But the sweet part that they do, and this should be their ad for the week, by the way, if we aired on your podcast. The cool thing they do is that you can sign up monthly. It's like $10 a month, and they give you, like, a credit a month. And so then you end up getting a book a month for $10 instead of, like, $20.
Wow, that's great.
I'll show you how to work.
Show me how to work because I love listening to books on tape.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. But listen, I also admire that you got chickens. Why, like I'm wrapping up, but why did you?
How much time do we do?
Over an hour.
That's nice. Yeah. And I can release this too?
Sure,
absolutely. Because this is how I would have had you on my podcast anyways, just had you interview me.
Right.
Every time we've ever done a podcast, I just have you interview me.
Where can people who are listening on SiriusXM get this podcast?
BurtCast.com.
Okay, and, so you can go to BurtCast.
I have some really good BurtCasts up recently. I really took December. I took sabbatical where I just no road, no nothing, no travel. And I just stayed home and I put up 7 BurtCasts this year. I got one with Tommy John again from Ron and Fez. Old days. He used to do Ron and Fez.
He was afraid of your dog.
How'd you know that?
Your wife told me.
Oh, yeah. He goes, hey, I got to tell you, man, I'm not cool with dogs. I was like, really? Because, yeah.
You have a big Turner and Hooch dog in your house.
He told the best story. If you don't know who Tommy Jonigan is, he's done Letterman. He did Letterman like 6 times. He's an amazing comedian, but he is very like tucked in white shirt kind of guy. He's not like a hardcore party guy. He's like a guy that works very hard at stand up and he's very talented, but he's like very subdued.
Right.
And he goes, when I was a kid, why are you afraid of dogs? He goes, when I was a kid, and by the way, if you've listened to this on my podcast, you've already heard Tommy tell the story. This is me. This is whatever how I hear a story,
right.
And then I regurgitate it. Whatever inaccuracies you hear,
sure.
You're like, what the fuck's wrong with Bert? He was at his cousin's house, and his cousin had like a big Doberman, and it bit him.
Mm-hmm.
And he went home. He was like, I'm scared of dogs. His dad's like, don't worry about it. You're not scared of dogs. Go back and be around that dog again. And so he went back the next day, and then the dog bit him in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back to his dad. He's like, don't worry about it. Tomorrow we're going to get a BB gun, and you're going to drive by and you're going to shoot the dog. And he said it was a very sad experience shooting the dog.
Sure.
And he's had a problem with dogs. What a fucking, that parenting is gone. Yeah, don't worry, here's the problem. We're going to get a BB gun, you're going to shoot the dog.
And now he can't even look at dogs.
Yeah, and so I got Doug Benson, Tommy, Matt Fultron. I do Adventure Cast, and this is based on, once again, it's the Bill Burr, Louis C.K. premise, where I find doing a solo show is the real talent. And so I talked to Bill about it, and Bill said it's very easy. Just start off with like, 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. See if you can do five. See if you can do 10. Yeah. Next week, see if you can do 15.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, making a grilled cheese.
Yeah.
And so what I did is I do an adventure cast where I come into my man cave and I do start a solo podcast, and then I take the podcast with me to go do something like go get girls donuts or go get coffee. And what you find is that you become, in the activity of doing something, you get back to your natural voice.
Right.
Which is what I'd have on stage or... But it's...
You should be doing podcasts when you're in here in your Speedos at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
I have. Yeah. And they sound like fucking Mein Kampf rants, except about my ego. except like, it's like, they're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fucking crazy. Like, and I tried one time watching the news and ranting off the news, like, as it was, like, live.
Yeah.
But that was... I just looked like a fucking imbecile. So, yeah, that's my podcast. But that's what I do. Leanne got the chickens. Leanne got the chickens. It is, this is my theory on this. I got into leather working.
Of course you did. Yeah. There's rawhide leather here this under is, Bert's table.
This is the beginning of a fanny pack
in Bert's man cave. You're a leather maker now, and you've decided I'm gonna make a fanny pack. Because what else are you going to do with the leather? He's looking around for his – you've made a fanny pack already? That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I made a fanny pack. It's really nice. I made a fanny pack. My therapist said, because that was the other part of the sabbatical for December. My wife's got me in therapy every week.
Mm-hmm.
So and I Skype with a guy. It's pretty cool. And you end up running bits by him. I write down half of its material.
Yeah.
And then he said, what's your hobby? And I was like, oh, this vlog. He's like, that's not a hobby, that's work. And I was like, well, writing jokes. He's like, that's not a hobby, that's work. And I found that I'm a workaholic, that I can't stop working. I start getting obsessed with it. He said, you need something that is different so that you can do it and your mind shuts off from work.
Yeah.
And he's like, what would you one thing you'd like to do? And just real quick, just like time travel. I was like, leather working. He was like, what? So I got a bunch of leather. I got all the tools.
Yeah.
They're all my tools right over there. And I started making fanny packs.
And are you able to like say this is just my hobby? Or are you saying I should start a business where I'm selling fanny packs on the road?
Nailed it.
Yeah, I knew it.
So I was like, well, I could sell this at one of my shows.
Totally.
And sell it for like $200 and someone will buy a Bert Kreischer fanny pack. So then I started mass producing fanny packs. And I was like, all right. My therapist was like, all right, you got to stop. You need something that's like a legit hobby. So so that's where I'm at now. But my wife, one of the things I witnessed in leather making and like leather working with leather was that it was like this, I could go and buy a leather bag very easily.
Right.
But it's when you do it yourself, it's like this, it's almost like this time travel. We're taking this cyclical now back to this like time where your fingers hurt and it's like you made something. And Leanne got the chickens. She fucking loves those chickens more than she likes her dogs and her cat. She comes out and she feeds them. They run around. They basically run around the backyard like it's theirs. And it's for her, it's like this real like, it's like the way people grow tomatoes in Brooklyn. And yeah. They're like, I made this tomato.
Right, totally.
And it's the same thing. It's like you go...
I made this fanny pack.
Yeah, there was a time where a woman was like, hold on, you're telling me I can get a tomato at a store? I don't have to fucking grow tomatoes anymore?
Right.
And that was great. Well, in that same way that was great for that woman, for these people in this generation where things are too easy,
yeah.
It's like, it's for Leanne, it's like, fuck yeah, I got... I made this egg was in my backyard.
Right.
My chickens ate dog shit all day, and then they created this egg. That's what the bad part is, that chickens were just eating dog shit. Our eggs would taste like dog
shit.
It's not
great for the eggs. I'm the same way with the hobbies, though. I'm like, well, no. I got my, you know, my radio stuff and the YouTube stuff and everything, but pro wrestling is my hobby. Welcome, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Like,
I could listen to you and Peter talk about wrestling all night, really? And I don't like wrestling.
That's good to hear.
But, And then I started, because of that, I came home and I Googled top, because I love The Rock.
Rock's the fucking man.
He is, his Instagram, he replied to one of my Instagrams one time.
He did?
Yep.
That's amazing.
I said I could use a little Rock inspiration this morning as I head to the gym. And then he wrote back, don't drop the weight on your balls.
That's amazing.
I know. And his Instagram inspires me to work out because he's just like fucking...
Like when he takes photos of his alarm clock, it's like 3:30 a.m., rise and grind. You're like, ah, shit, I woke up at 8. I missed 5 hours.
I'm still drinking.
Yeah.
The Rock is the fucking greatest. So I went, and I've been using this phrase nonstop. I went back and I saw The Rock. I saw the funniest lines from The Rock as a wrestler. The one is some girl is interviewing. He goes, "Listen, Miss Lemon Panties."
It's probably Lillian Garcia, the blonde.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And so it was. But I literally
Lemon Panties.
Lemon Panties. I loved it. He's just so good. And so then I was like, oh, I bet there's a lot of. And then I started Googling. I love old wrestling. I love like. And I love going on and finding like what happened to people and where they're at. And,
yeah,
like I'm.
You know what I want to do for a podcast, or we'll figure out where to release it or something. Because there's nothing I love more than finding people who don't watch wrestling, but have this little kind of weird interest in it, or just curious people, and just like making my own playlist on the WWE Network for them, and just watching them react. Like we should do that one time.
Yeah,
I just show you wrestling clips that I know you're going to get a kick out of.
Yeah,
and listen to your reaction.
I'm going to show you. I'm going to put on. Okay, we're going to do that. Because I was obsessed with Florida wrestling and Georgia wrestling.
Yeah.
And like, and I'm consistently obsessed with like the Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan era.
Right. Of the early mid 80s.
That's when I was really into it. Mm-hmm. Ric Flair, like that time, like when Dusty Rhodes passed, I had just recently gone through a list of great Dusty Rhodes quotes.
Right.
And I love that. And then I'm really impressed. And The Rock is the reason that I started getting obsessed with it. Is the reason The Rock is a great actor is he's been acting for fucking live. He's been doing live shows. He's been doing SNL for all, like a fucking high energy SNL for fucking 10 years.
We're just improvising lines and lines.
Listen to this, Little Miss Lemon Panties. There's one thing The Rock doesn't. There are two things The Rock doesn't have. One's a white baby, and the other one's like, it's just like, oh, he's great.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the man. Well, you figured it all out, I feel like. You figured out how to still be Bert and have a family.
Yeah.
You figured out how to live in L.A. and have chickens. You've done it all, and I'll let you be now.
This has been great. See if we can get you some. My wife's making collard greens in the kitchen. We eat collard greens every year because it brings you money.
Yeah.
And we've been doing it every year we've been married. Every New Year's Eve, everyone comes over to have collard greens, black-eyed peas, cornbread.
Yeah.
And
let me tell you something. Pork. The wood in this man cave does not like that meal. Bert, thank you for being here. If you want to get a Bert show, you can go to bertcast.com and subscribe to it. It's a really funny podcast.
And check out my vlog.
Yes, where can they find your vlog?
My YouTube page. Just go to bertbertbert.com with E's, B-E-R-T, 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 and you can get all my stuff from there.
Yeah, definitely go check that out and buy the book while you're there too. And we'll be back after this with more Sam Roberts Show. Probably from another location in Los Angeles. Unless I'm just doing a whole show from your man. I got somebody else coming to your house.
Oh, it's Joey Diaz.
Stay tuned. More Sam Roberts Show after this.
This episode was brought to you by The Machine.